broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
It's an awesome day. I'm back from the Masters here in Honolulu, and in a matter of just a few hours, things went from everything was a little wet, but moving along, to a couple of interesting penalties called. Oh, yes, this is the Golf Club, and welcome. You're in the clubhouse. It's April 13th, the Masters week. And Ron Syrak, executive editor of Golf World Magazine, will be joining us. He's also the president of the Golf Writers Association of America as of Wednesday. Steve Mona, CEO of We Are Golf, because it is the sixth National Golf Day coming up this week, and former head of the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America. I thought it'd be interesting to get his take on the conditions at Augusta. Bob Bupka, the voice of golf, and Elisa Godet, author and writer, will also join us. But first, let's thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. With this much traffic, you should ride in comfort. Introducing the Acura RLX and RLX Advance. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. A unique and unforgettable golf experience. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Jam. And Star Protection. Get your property threat and risk assessment, then protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
And welcome to the show. I mean, yesterday I was in the air flying, you know, blacked out. You don't get to know what's going on. It's a very interesting feeling. And so I'm on my way back from Augusta. Beautiful, being actually on the grounds. I walked the 18 holes that they're playing today, experienced the par 3 contest, and the first thing I heard when I got off the plane with Tianlong Guan was penalized for slow play. I thought, wow, taking a 14-year-old amateur and making him an example? They never penalize for slow play. What's going on? And this morning, if you're waking up and you're thinking that, oh, Tiger Woods is right there, right in striking distance. No. He hasn't even hit a stroke yet, and he's already down to T20. Yes, he's been penalized. And you say, for what? And for the answer to that question and many more, we turn to Ron Syrak, executive editor of Golf World Magazine. Welcome to the show, and thank you for taking the time in a very busy morning afternoon. God, it's been madness, hasn't it? I'm sorry, we're having some technical difficulties, and I can't hear Ron right now. If you could bring him in, Chaz, that would be really helpful. No, I'm sorry. I'm not getting any audio on this end, and this is, try a little bit higher.
Danielle, can
there.
You hear me now?
I
can hear you.
I know you could. It was totally on our side, just, you know, getting the board all set up again. Again, let me reemphasize, it's been madness in your media center where you are perched high above and looking out. It's a gorgeous room, but it must have been just insane for a while. I can't hear anything, Chaz. I'm sorry. This is very strange. And I apologize to you profusely, Mr. Syrak, for this problem that we're having this morning on such a very... I'm just going to say, if you could just do me a favor and explain to the audience a little bit about what's going on. We have two technicians working on this side to see if we can't figure out why we're not getting any audio on my end.
All right, can you hear me, Daniel?
There, okay. Yes.
Yep.
What happened? I mean, Tiger is in striking distance, and then all of a sudden this morning, around, what was it, 4 o'clock? It's our time. It was, I guess, around 10 your time when things sort of started to unravel for Mr. Woods.
Yeah, well, it really started to unravel on the 15th hole yesterday when he's was, I believe, one off the lead at the time, and with his third shot on the par 5, it hit the flagstick and unluckily careened back into the water. So then he takes his penalty drop, and it looked to me like what Tiger did is combine two different options into one option. He took what appeared to be stroke and distance penalty, which means you go back to the original spot that you hit from and hit from there again. Well, he went back there. But he then, by his own admission, went 2 yards farther back than the original spot to get a better number, a better yardage to hit into the green with. Well, that seemed to be assuming that he was going on the line that the ball entered the hazard. And if you take that option for relief, you can go back as far as you want. But that's not the option he took. To me, the problem that Tiger had here was that he said after the fact that he went back to the original spot and then went 2 yards farther back to gain a strategic advantage. That's a problem. Quite frequently, a TV viewer called in. I'm told it was a rules official, and said, we think Tiger took a bad drop. The committee studied it at the time, determined that Tiger did not violate the rules, but then after hearing his statement after the round, decided that he did violate the rules. But instead of disqualifying him for signing an incorrect scorecard, they gave him a two-stroke penalty.
You know, I was reading, they issued a statement, and then Tiger issued a statement on Twitter. It was like reading a legal opinion for the Supreme Court. And yesterday afternoon, the Rules Committee was made aware of a possible rules violation that involved a drop by Tiger Woods on the 15th hole. And they go on to talk about in preparation for his fifth shot, the player dropped his ball in close proximity. But then the crux of the matter is they go down to a rule that was created for the high-definition television situations. Is it 33-7?
Yeah, you know, I was in a European tour event in Abu Dhabi when Patrick Harrington was disqualified because he remarked his ball on a green, and after he remarked it, the ball rolled forward about a half an inch. He didn't detect that it had rolled forward a half an inch. TV later showed, high-def TV showed that the ball had rolled a half an inch, and he was disqualified for signing an incorrect scorecard. Well, it was decided at that time that that's an unfairly harsh penalty, and that what they would do is, if the player honestly had no way of knowing that he had violated the rule, then he would not be disqualified. He'd just be given the two-stroke penalty. I don't think that applies to the Tiger Woods situation, because Tiger told us that he went back to where he thought he played his shot from, and then went back 2 yards farther behind that because he liked that distance going into the green better. That seems to me to be, if not an intentional violation of a rule, at least an intentional changing of the situation. And to me, he signed an incorrect scorecard.
Yes, exactly. Then they address that in this statement. The penalty of disqualification for signing an incorrect scorecard was waived because they started studying it after?
Well, actually, and this has been in the rules of golf for a while, the committee, the competition committee of any tournament, really has the power to waive any disqualification anytime they want. And I think that what they decided in this case clearly was that disqualification was an unjustly harsh punishment. What makes it particularly situation for Augusta National in the Masters is the slow play penalty issued against the 14-year-old kid Guan from China, which, you know, there's a lot of people, when I asked people, my Twitter followers, what do you think of the slow play penalty on Guan, it ran about 7-1 against penalizing him. But the main thing being, if you're gonna enforce the rules to the letter of the law in one case, you got to enforce the rules to the letter of the law in all cases.
Absolutely, and I opened the show saying that. I mean, the first thing I heard when I came off the plane was that Tianlong Guan had been penalized for slow play. How do you take a 14-year-old amateur and use him as an example? They don't ever penalize the regular tour players for slow play. It was ridiculous. I thought
the last stroke penalty issued on a PGA Tour event for slow play was the Honda Classic in 1995.
Oh, I'm sorry. So, yeah, they did.
Yep. So, I mean, you know, that's, you know, 18 years ago. That's how often they do it. And clearly this was a case where the two other people he's playing with, Ben Crenshaw, who's 61 years old, and Mateo Manassero, who's 19 but has been playing on pro tours for 3 years, are veterans. They know. They got three warnings. They got three pace of play warnings in the group. Well, the other two guys knew to speed up because they're experienced at it. You know, and I think this is where Guan's inexperience, and this is where putting a 14-year-old kid in a professional tournament creates some problems. His inexperience led him to not speed up, not be able to change his pace of play, mm-hmm. and so he ends up with a penalty. There's no question that pace of play is a problem in pro golf, problem in all of golf. There's no question that they warned him three times. There's no question that he violated the rule. It's just, as you said, we could all name two dozen PGA Tour players out there who deserve to have a penalty called on them and never have, and they call it on a 14-year-old kid.
Yeah, it just seemed completely wrong. And then this morning, now, a lot of people are saying that Tiger Woods should disqualify himself and just withdraw. Say, it was wrong. What I did was wrong, and I respect the rules of the game so much so that I'm going to bow out. And they say, some people, that would be, it would make him, if he were to go on and win this tournament, it would be a black eye on golf. But if he were to bow out, it would put him in higher esteem, Tiger Woods. What do you think?
Well, I do think that if he bowed out, he would gain enormous goodwill from doing that. I also don't think that that was ever remotely crossed his mind, because Tiger plays every golf tournament to win, and that's the main thing that he thinks about. If he wins this golf tournament, yeah, it's going to be part of the story. It's definitely going to be part of the story. Should he have even been there playing on the weekend? We had David Fay, who's the former executive director of the U.S. Golf Association, wrote on our website today that there's no way Tiger Woods shouldn't be at home watching this on TV today.
Okay.
He was pretty strong on that he should have been disqualified.
Should we be angry at the rules, the committee that made this determination? Should we be angry at the committee for giving him an out and not angry at Tiger Woods?
I think Tiger was straightforward and honest about all this in his comments after the round. As I said, uh-huh. I think that in his mind, he combined two rules. He combined two options for his drop into one option. And because if he was taken point of entry relief from the hazard, he was on the wrong line. He was on the line that he hit the ball from, which means he was on the line where the ball crossed the hazard, but he was not on the line where the ball entered the hazard, because the ball hit the flagstick and then caromed off to the left. He would have had to, if he was going on the angle of entry into the hazard, he would have had to move much farther to the left to hit from.
And who makes up this committee? It's not just Masters guys, right? It's official.
Well, the competition committee probably is. The chairman of the competition committee is Fred Ridley, who's an Augusta National member and is a past USGA president. But there are rules officials here. There are USGA people. There are RNA people. The slow play penalty on Vaughn was called by John Paramore, who's the head of rules for the men's European men's tour. And so there are rules officials from all over the world here.
Okay, all right. I also noticed on your website on golfdigest.com that Mike Johnson mentioned that there is kind of a precedent for this two-shot penalty back from 1960 with Dow Finsterwald. And I thought that was interesting. Rather than DQing him, a penalty of disqualification may in exceptional individual cases be waived, modified, or imposed if the committee considers such action warranted, as what you said earlier.
Yeah, the committee has broad powers. They can essentially do whatever they want, and they control the tournament.
So is anybody playing golf now that we've talked this way?
well, speaking of rules, we've got Jim Clark, who anchors his putter, went out and shot 31 on the front nine, and he's now 3 under par, 3 strokes off the lead. So that would make the weekend complete, is to have a guy who anchors the putter win the Masters. And then bring the whole question of the anchoring ban back up again.
Right, and we have Jason Day, an Aussie, leading, right? And Australians never won, so that's an interesting storyline. Fred Couples is moving right up there. Freddie's completely behind Tiger Woods. By the by. And then I couldn't help but wonder this morning, what happened to, deer antler spray? And then you tweeted something about Tiger Woods not withdrawing. It's kind of like, or not being disqualified, is kind of like not hearing anything about Vijay Singh after he admits to using deer antler spray.
Well, they both, they, it seemed to me that they both confessed the violation, you know, and now I'll give, at least in the case of DJ, I am willing to accept the fact that we may still be in an appeals process here. You know, the PGA Tour may have, in fact, imposed a penalty on DJ.
Yes.
DJ may have, in fact, appealed that penalty,
yes,
and the appeals process may be going on. Although, so by my clock and by my count, this all started on February 6th, and the whole window for that appeals process should have closed by now. Although, once again, the commissioner has sole discretion to extend the appeals process as long as he wants. Here's my guess. I think PGA Tour wanted DJ to play the Masters, and if there's going to be a penalty for the deer antler stuff, it'll come very soon after the Masters.
Yeah, instead of marring the all the talk around the Masters just being deer antlers, so instead we're talking about Tiger Woods. And
yeah.
Phil Mickelson is upset that the greens aren't running faster, that the course isn't as firm as it was before, and it seems like he wants something done about that. Does Phil Mickelson have the power to get the Augusta National Golf Course changed?
Well, he has the power to whine, that's for sure, you know, so he can say whatever he wants. Phil's a master at overthinking any situation, you know. So he always sees more there than is really there. I thought the golf course is in spectacular shape. It's the best condition I've seen it be in a long, long time. I think the one thing they have done is very quietly over the years, they've let the fairways be a wee bit longer. You know, maybe it's an eighth of an inch, I don't know, but the grass is a wee bit longer, and that does two things. It slows down the roll, so they're trying to make the course play even longer, but it also gives you better, fluffier lies to hit shots off of. This course used to scare the heck out of me to play on because everything's a tight lie, you know, and I'm not that precise of a ball striker to be hitting off tight lies all the time.
Oh, my God. Ron Czyrak, yeah. You have played this golf course?
I have, yes. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's funny. All right, how did you get to play the golf course?
In the media lottery. Every year they pick about 32 writers' names out and they get to play it on the Monday after the tournament.
So if you got to play once, does that, like, disqualify you from going in the lottery again?
For 7 years.
Oh, so there is that process. Are you back in?
I am eligible to be back in, but I have, since I've put the magazine, Mondays are such a crazy day for us. It's been hard for me. I'm going to have to, at some point, seek special dispensation from my bosses before the tournament begins and say, if I enter the lottery and I get in, you know, will you please let me play?
Yeah. They'll say no. You'll have to give it to me.
Yeah.
The Golf Writers Association of America meets in their annual meeting every year at Augusta. I suppose that's because everybody is there. Is that why that started?
This is our awards banquet, and the reason that we do it on the Wednesday before the Masters is this gets the most international media turnout, and it's a place also, you know, for our award winners, even those who aren't PGA Tour members, like Stacey Lewis this year was Female Player of the Year, and Roger Chapman was Champions Tour Player of the Year, and people who win awards like the Hogan Award or the Richardson Award, you know, we get to bring them in, and they, you know, get to at least a one-day pass to go out and see what the golf course looks like, and so it's just the really logical time to have the awards banquet. This is Masters Week is really the gathering of the international golf community.
It was wonderful. A great meeting, a great dinner. KJ Choi, his comments were wonderful when he talked about what golf meant to him and about starting off with, you know, was it baseball that he wanted to play? And he had,
yep.
to, you know,
yep.
And then he talked about he never was able to use the proper equipment to play baseball, but then he touched a club, and he actually hit the club and a real golf ball, and being able to play with real equipment, and it just sung to him, you know. And it was a wonderful, wonderful, I don't like to call them speeches, because it was more than a speech for him, you know, and it was more than a speech for everybody. Stacy Lewis was wonderful to listen to. And you, sir, I like your position that as the USGA wants to take on, you know, pace of play, you as president of the Golf Writers Association of America are taking on pace of meetings.
Yeah, I want both the meetings and that dinner to go faster.
Well, you certainly, the rumblings in the back of the room at the meeting were that you did a very good job. It's never been that short. My goodness, that was wonderful. That was some of the comments in the back of the room that you probably didn't hear. The other thing I'm wondering, do you have a mission statement? Do you have something that you, Ron, want to accomplish as the president of the Golf Writers Association of America? Do you have a mission?
Well, I think that we have a lot of important issues that are facing us now that are absolutely brand new issues, because things like Twitter and digital products are new, and we're still feeling our way. You know, at Augusta National, we're not allowed to take our cell phones out of sight of the media center, which means, you know, you can't tweet from anywhere outside. On the PGA Tour, we can tweet from the golf course, but we can't tweet anything that resembles play-by-play. And so I think there are issues of access and issues of ability to transmit information that didn't exist 5 years ago, and I think those are important things for us to reestablish what has traditionally been the media's right to have, you know, unfettered ability to report the news.
Yes.
And right now some of those efforts, because of new technology, we are working under some restrictions that weren't previously there.
Yes, exactly. And you are under restrictions. I mean, sometimes people can sit at home in front of a television set and be able to, quote unquote, report the news better than someone who's actually there. And
you know, the point that I try to make to the ruling bodies all the time is that when radio first came along and started broadcasting baseball games, baseball owners were scared to death. They thought radio was going to kill baseball. Nobody'd ever go to a baseball game again. They'd just listen to the games on the radio. And radio turned out to be the greatest PR vehicle baseball ever had. Uh-huh. Because somebody would listen to a great game on the radio and say, I want to go to a baseball game. And if you look at it, baseball attendance started to spike up after games were put on the radio, and then again after they were put on television. More media is good for everybody. It's the rising tide lifts all boats. And if we had less restrictions on tweeting from the golf course, on being able to use our video cameras on our smartphones for little snippets out there, if they just took all those restrictions off all of us, I think it would only enhance their product, not hurt it.
Oh, fabulously put. Thank you so much. People took their radio to the ball game. Because then they have the best of both worlds,
yep.
Right?
I mean,
and you, sir, are just bring the game of golf into a person's, in the moment when they're on Twitter. And I really recommend, if you don't have a Twitter account, if you don't, you're not on Twitter, you really are missing out on a lot, because it brings you right into the moment.
And it was fascinating this morning when the Tiger stuff was going down to see players, people like David Duval and Steve Elkington and Stuart Appleby and Stacey Lewis and Paula Creamer and all these people weighing in on what their opinions were on things.
Exactly.
It's fascinating.
It was. Yeah. It brings all of these minds together into one place. It's exciting.
And which is not to say there aren't a lot of blockheads on Twitter, too, but, you know, that's sort of true in life in general, I guess. So.
Always a pleasure talking with you. You look terrific, and it was a great time had by all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Danielle. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. And we'll be back right after this. Ron Cyrak. Follow him at Ron Cyrak on Twitter. Or, of course, read him at golfdigest.com. Or, of course, you must subscribe to Golf World. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded, property guard and patrol services, loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
The 2014 Acura RLX and RLX Advance. Go test drive this car at Acura Honolulu, 777 Ala Moana Boulevard. I have driven the best cars in the world. I want a tight turning radius. You'll get that in the Acura RLX. I want a responsive engine. You'll get that in the Acura RLX. And a smooth, quiet ride down Ala Moana Boulevard. You'll get that. It's so good on the nerves on Honolulu streets. But don't take my word. Test drive the 2014 Acura RLX. Call for an overnight test drive. You heard right. Call General Sales Manager TJ Jones for your appointment to visit Acura of Honolulu. Your time's valuable. Book it. Call 942-4555. Meet with TJ and the RLX expert. There is so much to Acura's RLX where luxury meets high tech. Acura's flagship sedan. Take it home. Keep it overnight. See how it fits in your life. You heard right. Acura of Honolulu will wash and vacuum your current car while you're experiencing the Acura RLX. And when you bring it back, find out when you can take your Acura RLX or RLX Advance home. The number is 808-942-4555. His name is TJ. The car is the Acura RLX. It's an amazing car, and I'm not easily amazed.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Hey, welcome back. If you want to play around at Poipu, there's a 920 and a 1050, and you need to go out and play. And maybe you'd like to go to Makalei, they aerated, but you can, you know, it's a perfect time to practice your short game. 940 and a 1028, and it's only 52 degrees, my kind of temperature. Volcano, 10 o'clock and 1024. And at Ko'olina, the Lotte. Practice rounds, the girls are out playing, so you really should go follow and learn something. There's a 320. I'm not trying to imply that you don't know anything, okay? But you really can. And I survived. You know, let's bring CEO Steve Mona in. We are golf. Golf industry coming together, going up to Capitol Hill to talk about how important a coalition of the game's leading associations and industry partners meeting with Congress on National Golf Day, that's on Tuesday, April 16th, to share the stories and new data about golf's diverse businesses, employees, tax revenue creation, tourism, new charitable benefits, and environmental leadership, indeed. And I'm also going to pick his brain about the grass at Augusta National, because Steve Mona used to be in charge of the Golf Course Superintendents Association. Well, I guess that's kind of, you're not really in charge, right? Steve Mona, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Danielle. It's great to be with you.
Oh, absolutely. Great to talk to you, sir. I just got back from the Masters. I walked on Wednesday, all 18 holes, and there were people who were walking along saying, "That's not grass, that's AstroTurf." And I thought, yeah, you know what? This stuff holds up. Then somebody told me there are 7 different strains of grass weaved inside that beautiful, beautiful lawn. Is that how many different strains of grass do you know?
Well, first of all, the folks at Augusta National don't disclose their trade secrets, if you will. So it's really hard to know unequivocally how many different strains are in there. I will just tell you this, that I had lunch on Tuesday at Augusta with a gentleman who has been a member of the club for about 25 years, and he told me that the golf course was in the best condition that he has seen in that time that he has been a member. And trust me, this is not a person who's given to hyperbole. So
oh,
if he says something like that, I would have to agree that it's probably as good as it's been.
It's gorgeous. And I mean, people, there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of feet trampling across that, and you'd not know it, you know? It was just...
That's correct.
I couldn't believe it. I'm looking at the cut around the cup, and I'm thinking, look at that. You know, it's just... It's beautiful. And then I'm watching Graham McDowell. He's practicing, and he's obviously not happy, poor guy, you know? You've just so many different things to experience. If you do anything, a bucket list, I'm going to have tips for you on what you need to do to go to the Masters, how to go to Augusta. I made my share of mistakes, and I'm going to share them with you because I'm going to go back. And now I know how to go back. I'm a little bit more savvy. You know, I can't do it. It's going to be expensive. You got to save your money, but there are ways to cut costs and have a great time at the same time. So let's talk. We Are Golf. How did We Are Golf come to be, Steve Mona?
Well, it actually occurred because of a negative instance that impacted the golf industry. And what happened was when Hurricane Katrina rolled through New Orleans and the Gulf Coast, Congress passed a disaster relief bill that allowed businesses that needed to rebuild as a result of the hurricane to deduct from their taxes the expenses associated with the rebuild. And that makes complete sense, and we were in favor of it, except for the fact that Congress specifically excluded five businesses from being eligible to deduct those costs, and those were liquor stores, massage parlors, tattoo parlors, casinos, and golf courses. And we said, well, we obviously have not done a very good job of communicating appropriately and accurately to Congress about the impact of golf, and we need to do a better job. And that really was the start of We Are Golf, and that was the start of National Golf Day. It emanated from that particular incident.
I understand. And we have a similar situation. We had Hurricane Iniki decimate Kauai and take out, you know, destroying golf courses. And I'm sure they had the same problem when they tried to rebuild. So we have the PGA of America, the United States Golf Manufacturers Council, the GCSAA, the NGCOA, World Golf Foundation, PGA Tour Players, golf course superintendents, small business owners, manufacturers, all coming together in Washington. How are you going to get this message across to the congressman? This is the sixth annual. How do you tell them how important golf is, not just to people who like to play a game, but to an industry, to people who have jobs, depend on it for their livelihood?
Absolutely. So the message is going to be pretty simple. It's going to be that golf provides an economic impact on an annual basis of almost $70 billion. It employs almost 2 million Americans. It is larger than the spectator sports and performing arts industries combined. And then from a charitable perspective, golf generates nearly $4 billion annually in charitable giving, almost all of which comes from approximately 12,000 golf facilities across the country hosting about 12 events a year, so a total of about 140,000 charitable events a year that generate that almost $4 billion in charitable giving to causes that in almost every case are outside of the golf industry. So emphasizing that golf facilities are a tremendous community asset and that golf facilities generate revenue that helps support a variety of charitable causes in local communities throughout the country are going to be our key messages on Tuesday.
Now, I assume that that tax issue was taken care of, right? Golf courses can now deduct the cost of rebuilding if a hurricane comes and wipes them out?
Well, let me put it to you this way. Since we've formed our coalition and began to conduct National Golf Day and meet regularly with members of Congress, there's been no new legislation that specifically excludes golf from any type of relief, et cetera, versus other businesses. However, having said that, that language that I referenced, because what happens is the language just gets basically pasted on from one bill to another, that language still exists. So we have legislation that we introduced last year that would create a national disaster relief bill that would include all businesses, where Congress wouldn't have to pass a bill every time a natural disaster occurred. And we're trying to get that accomplished this year.
Okay.
So
Go ahead.
So the answer is a bit of yes and no. It's yes from the standpoint there's been no additional legislation that's negatively impacted golf, but it's no from the standpoint that that language still exists and we're still trying to clean it up.
Right. So they have cut and paste, but no cut and delete on their computer.
That's right. Which is why we've introduced this new legislation, just to basically, because it's harder to unwind things in Washington after they've been passed in the law than it is to introduce new legislation. That's why we decided to take that route. But I have to tell you and everyone that that golf has been treated fairly these last several years, and so we're pleased with that.
Yeah, and but you've got so much planned. I mean, Michael Breed, the host of Golf Fix, is going to be there, and Dana Rader is going to be there, and you're going to have a closest to the pin contest, and I like this a lot too, the Republican versus Democrat putting challenge.
Yeah. What we do, Danielle, is we have in the Rayburn Foyer, which is one of the House office buildings, we basically take it over and we create a almost a golf experience, if you will. And so Michael Breed and Dana Rader will be giving lessons to members of Congress and their staff. As you mentioned, there'll be a putting contest right there in the foyer between Republicans and Democrats. There'll be a couple of exhibits that speak to the golf course maintenance side of the profession, if you will, or the industry, and then also some other exhibits that highlight the science and technology elements of golf. So it'll be a real central gathering point. In addition to that, we'll have a kickoff in that foyer that morning where several of us will make remarks, and then we'll have at noon an awards ceremony, at which time we'll be honoring Jim Clyburn, Democrat from South Carolina, and Renee Elmers, a Republican from North Carolina, with our first Lawmaker of the Year award.
That's
so quite a day.
Yeah, and I really like that. What made did you want to reach in and touch them? Is that why you came up with the Lawmaker of the Year award, sort of, or is it because they've done something special for golf?
It's more the latter than the former. We have worked with both Congressman Clyburn and with Congresswoman Elmers over the last several years, and they're both very, shall I say, receptive to our message and very supportive of our message, and they have been very supportive of the various activities that we've engaged in over the last several years, and so we wanted to recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, we've created we have helped to create a Congressional Golf Caucus, and there's several, a few dozen members of Congress that are part of this caucus, and each year in the summertime, we have a Congressional Golf Caucus meeting where we meet with members of the caucus. So we've established good relationships with a number of members of Congress who are, shall I say, interested in golf and its message.
I'm glad. You know, I'm tired of presidents, whether it be on the Republican or Democrat side, you know, whether it's President Obama or anybody, playing golf. I mean, it seems like our country doesn't understand that at some point you need to step away and exercise, unwind, whether you're playing basketball, shooting hoops, or, you know, throwing a ball with your dog, or just going out on a golf course. It's important to get that facet of your life in balance. And
yes, absolutely. And we're very supportive of President Obama and other political leaders playing golf for all the reasons that you cite. And I would also mention that there are documented health and wellness benefits of golf. If you play 18 holes and walk, that will expend about 2,000 calories, which is the same amount that you would expend if you were to run about 3 miles or take a 5-mile walk. In addition to that, if you walk 18 holes of golf, you're going to take about 10,000 steps, which is what the daily recommended maximum is of steps that you should take. So there are a lot of benefits to the game that go unrecognized from a health and wellness perspective, not to mention the whole mental health element of the game, which we haven't even discussed.
I was thinking, you know, getting away from it all kind of was my mental health, you know, implication. You need
Absolutely.
To step away from the desk, otherwise you will go crazy. I mean,
that's right.
We've got North Korea, you know, and you need to get perspective. Like, maybe that young man just is trying to, you know, who knows what he's trying to do. But anyway, we're here in the middle of the Pacific, at least.
Right.
You know, so we're kind of like a little bit more in tune to him wanting to throw around those gigantic things. Now, what if somebody wants to get involved in We Are Golf? You have a website, wearegolf.org. Can people volunteer to do something?
Well, the best thing that they can do is go to the website, and they can interface with it in two ways. One is if they work in the golf industry, if they're one of the almost 2 million people that work in the golf industry, they can share their story about how golf is more than a game. It's a way of life. It's a living for many of us, and they can include that story. And we will use testimonials like that with our efforts in Washington. In fact, we bring in each year about a half a dozen what we call storytellers. And these are people that are actually working in the game at the grassroots level. They might be golf course superintendents. They might be club managers. They may be involved with a management company, golf professionals, but people who are doing it at a grassroots level. And that's oftentimes how we find out about it. So that's one piece. Two, if you're a golfer and you don't happen to work in the golf industry, that's okay, too. There's also there's two things you can do. One is just read the information to become more aware of the issues impacting the golf industry. But two, you can also provide your own perspective on what the game means to you. And you can also ask questions of us, too. So there's two or three ways to interface with us through that website.
Excellent. That's the website. And if you're, you know, again, I'm talking Twitter here, and wearegolf.org has a Twitter account, and it's wearegolf. Okay, so you go to Twitter, and you just create your own little account, and then you follow. You start following people, and you follow We Are Golf. And you just kind of get involved, and you respond, or you say, hi, I've got this story to tell. And it's, sure, it's short messages, but pretty soon you find yourself engaged, and it's exciting, and it brings you right into the middle of things that you may have a real stake in. And of course, this is a golf show, so our golf industry here in Hawaii is a substantial one, and we all have a stake in the game. Thank you, Steve Mona, CEO, We Are Golf, for being on the show. Really appreciate your time.
You bet, Danielle. It's always good to be with you.
Thank you. And we'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911, 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Look at that. It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh, man. Can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
It's just about time for Bob Bupka to check in with us. And if you would like to play a round of golf and you're on Maui, at the Emerald Gold, how about let's start off with Wailea. Wailea Gold Course has a 926, and the Wailea Emerald Course has an 841 and a 1029. At Ko'olina, where the LPGA players are being, they're probably getting kind of accustomed to being at Ko'olina. This is the second year for Lotte. It'll be next Saturday, and they're starting to have their opportunities to practice at Ko'olina. But if you would like to play, after, of course, you've followed a player and gotten some tips by watching, there is a 3:20. There's also at Poipu a 9:20 and a 10:50. And if you're in the shopping mood, which I was at the Masters, my goodness, I survived, you know, Hurricane Iniki. We had a t-shirt in Hawaii, and it was I Survived Hurricane Iniki. And everybody wore the t-shirt because it impacted the entire state. But I survived the merchandise store at the Masters. You really ought to make a t-shirt, because, let me tell you, when you go in there, if somebody yelled fire, oh, I don't even want to think about what would happen. It is so crowded. You have to go in on Monday or Tuesday to get what you want. We're getting calls. I'm not sure why. Let's see now. I'm getting a call, and I can't talk to them because I'm talking with you. It's always a problem, so I think I'll have to end that call. Hopefully Bob is on the line. Do we have Bob on the line? No, we don't have Bob on the line, but we do have the winner. Okay, that indicates that that must be Bob calling in now. Is a message I just got on. I'm just going to have to share all this with you. Okay, we're going to have to talk. Hello, hello, this is Danielle. I'm on the radio with you. Hello? Hi, Bob. This is Danielle. Can you call into the station line? Because right now we're on my cell phone. Okay, sure, sure. I'm going to make sure that Bob's got, he's calling. All right. Okay, good. There we go. I think they just hung up on me because they're calling in from the Masters. Bob Bupka, I can't wait to talk to him. He's so much fun. So I was in that merchandise room, you know, and you get caught up. And I mean, there are shirts. But if you don't go in on Monday or Tuesday, larges, gone, mediums, gone. So you end up, you know, by Wednesday, which is the day I was able to go in, I saw the par three contest. It was so cute. Bubba Watson brought Caleb. Caleb was sitting on the practice green in the par three area, and then Louis Oosthuizen, he tees off, and little Caleb is clapping with everybody else. Just adorable. It was priceless. And Oosthuizen's two little girls, just charming. They're running barefoot down the fairways, going from one to another. Has Bob checked in? Yeah, it was, the par three was just wonderful. Now, right, in case you're wondering, you know, we've been talking about Tiger Woods and slow play penalties on a 14-year-old who made the cut. Jason Day is still leading. Freddie Couples is moving up the leaderboard. Mark Leishman is there. Angel Cabrera. Jim Furyk. Jim Furyk had his daughters. Brant Snedeker. Jim Furyk brought his daughters to the par three contest. It was a lot of fun. Let's bring Bob Bupka in. Bobby, how are you doing?
Great trip back, I guess, Danielle. And what a pleasure it was to see Danielle Tucker at the Augusta National Golf Club. Really a thrill for me. I know it was for you. So glad you could make it. Long way back to Hawaii. But, you know, listening to you talk about the children running around on the par three contest and the smiles and the applause, and Thursday morning Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, and Gary Player teeing off. Now we go to the dark side.
Yeah.
And that was the slow play penalty against the 14-year-old from China. Thank goodness he made the cut. Had he missed the cut by a shot, it would be talked about for the next 50 years. And then the darker side of Tiger Woods and his situation, ultimately getting a two-stroke penalty. But Nick Faldo, Greg Norman, and many, many others have come out on television and said the only equitable thing for Tiger to do is to withdraw from the competition. He committed the rules violation. He did it intentionally, and he should not continue to play. And that's where we're at up to the minute. And it's only minutes from now that Tiger's going to go to the first tee under the most unusual of circumstances. I thought it was unusual, Danielle, when he came back from the scandal. He used this venue to reemerge because it's very protective here. And now he's going to go to that first tee under another dark cloud. I don't know. You know, should Tiger play or should Tiger not play? I don't know. All I can do is, respect what Greg Norman and Faldo and other greats of the game, they feel he shouldn't play. Who's Bob Bupke to say that, it's okay for him to play?
Exactly. Well, you know what? I know you're a Tiger Woods fan, and you and Alex Maselli on the Grill Room radio show on Sirius XM are going to have a real wing dinger of a show where you guys go up against. But I've got a feeling you're kind of leaning, even though you're a huge Tiger Woods supporter, towards Tiger withdrawing, even though they've just penalized him the two strokes. We're going to have to back up a little bit maybe and explain what happened, but are you in favor of Tiger DQing himself?
Well, Danielle, just like you, you have a unique love for this game of golf, and you don't find it in too many individuals. And when you do find somebody, it's easy to see the passion, and you possess all of that. I'm the same way. I love the game. There's nobody in the game. There's never been anybody in the game, as far as I'm concerned, that is bigger than the game. Would Tiger serve the game better by disqualifying himself? Possibly. But you got to look at another thing. The rules committee said that you're going to get a two-shot penalty, but you're allowed to play on. If he WDs or withdraws, then he's violating the rule that they said. So he would make the Augusta National people look bad in the fact that they said, hey, it's okay for you to play. And then he turns around and says, no, wait a minute. You guys are wrong. I'm not going to play. So there's no right answer to this question. There's no right answer.
You're absolutely correct. There is no right answer. And I knew that they would find a way to make sure that Tiger Woods could play. They have that within their discretion. They can overturn whatever they want because it's they're the committee that's in the rules. They can do that. But basically what happened, if you haven't been watching, you probably saw Tiger Woods when he hit on 15. And now I didn't because I was flying at 32,000 feet. But I heard, and then I've seen it over and over again, his ball gets so close, it hits the flagstick. Instead of dropping down and going into the ball, a hole, like it should, because it's always done that for him before. No, no, no. It rolls off and goes into the pond. And by the way, it's a very lovely pond. I've seen it. I was there. He has to take... Now, he's got three different options. Didn't he have three choices? He chose to go back to where he hit the ball from originally. But
right.
in a television interview, doesn't he say that instead of as he was supposed to, if he goes back to his original place where he hit from originally, he has to go as close as to where he hit originally? Nearest?
Absolutely. And that's where the rub comes in, because Tiger said that I took my drop. I dropped the ball 2 yards further back because I wanted to land 4 yards short of the pin. He said, I was planning on taking 2 yards off the shot, and I added 2 yards to the shot by taking my drop, which is clearly a intentional violation, even though he didn't know it at the time. Now, there's another aspect to this that hasn't been discussed anywhere yet. The caddy, Joe LaCarver, I love him dearly. He, caddied for Fred Couples for years and years and years. The responsibility in that situation ultimately is the player's. But the better caddy that you have, that caddy steps up and says, wait a minute, Tiger, you can't drop it there. He did not do that. He cannot, that's something that's going to haunt him for a long, long time, because he is regarded as one of the superior caddies.
Yeah.
But here was a moment for him to shine, and the light didn't go on.
It was very strange. I thought the same thing. I thought, you mean two guys who've been in this game as long as they have, both are wrong? How can they get this so wrong? And some people have said, well, there was the A option and the B option, and Tiger mixed up the two options and got confused because he was probably still angry that the ball went rolled off into the pond. Okay, Tiger may have been angry, but what about his caddy? His caddy is supposed to be there to make sure that that anger doesn't impact decision-making afterwards, right? Just as you say.
You're right on the money, Danielle. I mean, it's easy to understand Tiger was visibly upset at that point. Don't forget, he was leading the Masters at that juncture and hit a poor drive on 15, necessitating the fact that he basically had to lay up. He couldn't go to the green, so he lays up and then hits what he thought was the absolute perfect shot. But as you accurately described, Danielle, it hits the base of the pin instead of staying anywhere on the green. It had so much spin on it, it spun right back into the pond. Now that's when the fun began. Tiger explored his options, decided to take the option of hitting it from where he originally played his shot, but added 2 yards to it to help him. And that's where the problem lies.
Yeah, it was really amazing. But when I got off the plane, the only thing I was thinking about is, as you started the whole conversation, Bob, how could they penalize Tianlong Guan, a 14-year-old amateur, for slow play while the rest of them have been getting away with slow play forever? And it was interesting, the rules officials at the Masters are from many of the different tours, the PGA Tour, the European Tour. The European Tour is much less, benign about slow play. And it was a European Tour rules official, I believe, who did the penalizing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the European Tour official that you're referring to, a fellow by the name of John Paramore. He's only been doing it 37 years.
Only.
Okay? I have to respect what he said. He had to put blinders on. It wasn't a 14-year-old that was getting the penalty. It was somebody that was involved in the competition, and he committed an infraction, and the proper rule was called. Could they have turned the other cheek and maybe get away with it? But that is a very slippery slope. If you turn the cheek on one, why not turn it on another one and another one and another one? So John Paramore's integrity was at stake. He did not like calling that penalty, but it was necessary because, understandably slow, this 14-year-old was taking a lot of time. I mean, a lot's going on. He's being paired with Ben Crenshaw, 2-time winner of the event. He's got 25,000 patrons out there watching him, so he played a little slow, but the penalty didn't hurt him, and the good news on that front is he wins the low amateur. Tomorrow afternoon he'll be in Butler Cabin. He'll be getting the Silver Cup as the low amateur. I mean, first off, let's put it in perspective. For a 14-year-old to get in this event is unbelievable. For a 14-year-old to make the cut in this event is even more unbelievable. For a 14-year-old to be the best amateur at the Masters in any given year, it's beyond my belief.
It's awesome. Absolutely awesome. And Bob Bupka is wanted on the BBC or one of many different, maybe even an Australian radio station is demanding his time because, look, there's an Australian at the top of the leaderboard. Do you think Jason Day can do this?
I finished second a couple of years ago, one for Charles Schwartz, so birding the last 4 holes, Jason Day would have had his green jacket.
Yeah.
Now, he's got the country on his back, though, as great as Greg Norman was, as great as Bobby Thompson was, as great as Ian Baker Finch, all of those guys, none has ever won a green jacket. There's no way Jason Day keeps those thoughts out of his head.
Yeah. Well, he's got a backup. Adam Scott's right there, too. So we got this is great. Great talking with you. Bob Bupka, thanks so much for being on the show with me.
It was my honor. And once again, it was a privilege to see you here in person at Augusta. You look great as always.
Oh, thank you, and so do you. Good hugs. Thank you so much, Bob. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
To demonstrate the nimble driving characteristics of this new Acura RDX, we're recording this radio commercial from inside the cabin while being driven by a professional stunt driver. All right, let me open the window here. Listen to the power of the RDX's new V6 engine with 273 horsepower. Now you're experiencing the agility of this deceivingly big crossover. Let's not forget the RDX is also equipped with standard moonroof, Bluetooth phone connectivity, and a 360-watt 7-speaker premium audio system. And it has standard leather seats. Unfortunately, hang on, I really can't get any sound out of these seats. See your Acura dealer for exceptional offers and test drive the new RDX today.
See your Hawaii Acura dealer in Honolulu and Kahului, Maui for the season's best offers on the 2013 Acura RDX. Choosing an Acura just makes sense.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
And we are KPUA, Hilo, KGU, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo. You know, if you're far, far away and you want to listen to the show, you can listen to the show on TuneIn Radio. TuneIn Radio is one of the options, and you just go to KGU, and there it is, KGU. Okay, it's on TuneIn Radio. You can also find The Golf Club at Stitcher Radio for your smartphone. It's a really cool option. It does not store on your phone, so you don't take up memory. It streams right through. There's also, of course, iTunes. You can find The Golf Club at iTunes. You can also find the show at RadioGolfClub.com, where the show is streaming live right now. Or you can listen to it archived. In other words, all of the shows that I've ever done, well, as long as I've had this particular server, I think there's 7 or 8 years of shows. I've got a recording of every show. Some of them go back to reel to reels. And in the business of radio, that means it's old tape. And there's some on cassettes. Oh my goodness, I'm dating myself. All right. I had a great time in Georgia, Augusta. And you know what? Washington Road, well, let's just say there was no city planning. When they put Washington Road together, it was like, let's throw a Waffle House here, and we're going to put a Motel 8 there, and right in between, we're going to put a steakhouse. It's called T-Bones. And that, by the way, really good food. And across the street, we're going to have a strip mall, and we should put a gas station here. we'll have our Walgreens over there, and then we'll put a big old water tower. It's just the most bizarre, eclectic combination of architecture. I'm not sure what to call it, what type of architecture it is. It's modern. Alisa Godet is an author, and she joins us now. She wrote a book called Two Good Rounds, 19th Hole Stories from the World's Greatest Golfers. Yeah. Okay. T-Bones is a 19th hole where a wait for a table is, 90 minutes. Even if you give the person you're getting a table from, you spiff them 100, it doesn't matter. It could be longer. So what happens is people have this great time. It's just one of the places you just have to experience it. There are much better places to go eat because you know, after all, who wants boisterousness around them all the time? You want to get away from it. But just as experience, you got to experience it. Like, I went to Hooters. I'm not a drinker, okay? Why would I go to Hooters, you know? But I was told I had to go to Hooters. Michael Patrick Shields, my travel guru, told me, you must go to Hooters, Danielle. I'm like, what am I going to... So I went to experience T-Bones, and I had my baked potato and a glass of wine. Then I go over to Hooters, and I park my car, and I'm standing out in the garage. I shouldn't say it's a parking lot. There's no cover. It's just this big, old, gigantic parking lot. And I see this big van, trailer. There's like a moving van, and one of those RVs, really spiffy RV. And a bunch of tables are spread out right in front of that RV. And old boxes and looks like T-shirts and all kinds of stuff are all across. And there's people running around and there's all these people gathered. Not that many people outside the door at Hooters. They're all gathered around this RV and all these tables. I'm kind of standing next to the cars. I'm trying to check it out. And there's another girl. She's much younger than I am. We're all sort of watching, trying to get the lay of the land. We're looking. All of a sudden I see this blonde mop. And it's running around. It's going, it's right above the crowd. It seems to be going along the tables, stopping, and there's these flashes going off, and then all of a sudden it darts. And then I see that it's attached to a body. And it jumps into the U-Haul. And I realize I'm watching John Daly in action. John Daly is at Hooters, parked outside where he is, I think, every year, on Washington Road. And he's selling his flags that he autographs. He's selling T-shirts. He's having pictures. He will do a picture with everybody who buys a flag, has it autographed. Then he leans over the table, and you take a quick picture. There's six, there's eight, there's two, there's me. He just takes pictures with you. This guy is the hardest working guy in the business of entertainment and golf. And I wish, you know, I mean, if he had applied himself that much to the game a few years ago, he probably, you know, but that's life. You just don't know what you're going to do, the decisions you make, and then you move on and do the best you can do. Alongside of him is a wonderful woman who works really hard to make sure that the T-shirts are moving. But there's John Daly jumping into the U-Haul to pull out the merchandise. He didn't ask one of the many people who were sitting around, standing around, sort of the hangers-ons that were just cruising there. No, he didn't ask anybody to do it for him. He went and got it. He made sure that the customers were getting exactly what they wanted. And then, I'm not sure if whose daughter, but, you know, she's about 10, 11, and she's handling all of the credit cards, swiping the cards, getting the customer to sign it. Quite an operation. John Daly, working hard at Hooters. So, just a couple of things that I'm sure you would enjoy doing, too. Let's bring in Elisa Godet. I want to pronounce your name French because it just sounds so good. Good morning, good afternoon, Lisa.
Yeah, good morning to you.
Awesome. Two good rounds. Great book. 19th Hole Stories from the World's Greatest Golfers. And we had a couple of 19th holes. We were at, where did you take me after the Golf Writers Association dinner? You took me to
the Partridge Inn, which is a landmark hotel, and I consider one of the must-sees, must-do if you're going to Augusta.
Yes, it far exceeds the pleasure factor over T-Bones.
Right. Well, it's a very quintessential Georgia hotel with a porch out front, and I think especially for people that are not from the South or know the South, you know, I think it's really nice, and it's always interesting who you meet in the bar there.
Yeah, and you can see the tables, like you said, outside, or you can sit in the bar. There's a good band, good singer,
yeah,
and wonderful ambiance, very comfortable, so you can have a conversation. The band doesn't override your conversation, which is really important, you know, if you're talking to some people. By the same token, you can get, you know, blown out audioly. You can have your sensors overloaded with the sound of music right there in the bar and enjoy that too. When we were in our 19th hole story for that night is somebody's birthday. Tell us about that.
Oh, it was, you're right, it was Adam Shupek.
Yes.
The golf writer for Golf Week.
Yes.
Yeah, it was his birthday. Great guy, great writer.
Yes, and it's his birthday, and so Lisa goes over and she whispers in the ear. He has no idea that this is going to happen. The singer does, you know, does the happy birthday, and he's like, wow! He comes from the far end of the... That was a really cool moment. I really appreciate it. That was very nicely done. So, what is your favorite 19th hole story from your book? Who do you want to single out and talk about?
Well, you know, they're all really good and interesting. It ranges from heartfelt family moments to, you know, crazy fun things that some of the guys have done after a win. I'm a huge fan of Ernie Els, just a great guy.
Me
I
too.
Love his wine. He's proprietor's blend, got, I believe, in 96, one of the years, but it's a really good, enjoyable, lovely South African wine. You know, so they talk about those a bunch of those type of things. And I think the main thing that I always tell everyone is we can't hit the ball like Bubba, but we can have a beer like Bubba. So the idea of the book is to create some type of a connection between the amateur golfer and the pro, something that's a little more attainable than obviously, you know, what they do, especially at a place like Augusta, where it's incredibly difficult. You really have a strong appreciation for the extreme talent that they have. So, you know, it was a way to create a little more connectivity, because I think we all enjoy getting together with our friends after a round, obviously celebrating if we have something to celebrate, anything from a tournament win to great shot to a birthday, you know, and that's precisely what we were doing down there.
Christy Kerr, I just opened the book to her. And, of course, the Lotte is being played this week. They're getting ready, practicing at Ko'olina. And they'll play this coming weekend. So, of course, they will be there on Saturday. And Jerry Foltz will be on the show. And it's going to be fun. But Christy Kerr has 14 wins. And this is from the book, okay? I really enjoy red wine from Napa Valley, California. When I'm having a cocktail, Kerr said, I like to have extra dry double cross vodka martini with blue cheese olives. And she has her own wine label, right?
Right. And it goes to support, I believe, breast cancer or something. Your mom.
Yeah.
Somebody.
Curvature
yeah.
is a unique yeah. collaboration with Suzanne Pride, Brian, the owner of Pride Mountain Vineyards in St. Helena, California. Suzanne is a breast cancer survivor. Kerr is actively involved in fundraising. But she says, my favorite grill room is the tap room at Pebble Beach. I went
yeah.
on vacation with my husband there, and it's the best. So that's the kind of, from this book, you can, you know, come up with some interesting drink ideas for your 19th hole, in addition to finding a good place to go if you happen to be on vacation.
Yeah.
Nicely
and
done.
You know what? The Partridge Inn, I mentioned it in the foreword of the book.
Oh, you did?
So people who, yeah, if you really read it, then I mentioned a bunch of my personal, you know, where I have really unbelievable memories, you know, that have, you know, don't have to do with actually playing a round of golf. So at Partridge Inn, I mentioned, I mean, you know, TPC, Scottsdale, you know, that... 13th hole is like insanity. So you know, there's some really unique things in golf that I think are really fun.
Yes, it is a great book. And here you are with Arnold Palmer, The King and I. It's a great, great picture. I know Alisa will help me so much at the Masters after the golf writers meeting. You know, was what should Danielle do next? Well, first of all, she shouldn't be carrying around this gigantic bag, and she's dressed for a meeting, not for walking the course, so she needs to change. And if she's going to go to the merchandise store, as I was talking about earlier, we have in Hawaii t-shirts from I Survived Hurricane Iniki. So it going into the merchandise store is like I survived the Masters merchandise store. It's so crowded, right? You have to walk sideways to get by people. You have to just, it's a very interesting experience. So
yeah, and I think, you know, when people go, and I think especially in YA also, you know, I do try to help people out. I ran into another woman that was her first time that I knew actually from Ireland, who works at the Carlton House where they're going to be having the Irish Open. And, you know, sometimes you're only there for one day or 2 days or limited time, and it is a bit overwhelming. And I think no matter where we are in life, it's always nice if somebody can be a little bit of a compass and point us in the right direction. So, you don't want to waste 4 hours in the merchandise tent, which can easily be done. And also, you don't want to carry the stuff around. You can ship it. This is all the little back end. And I don't know that I ever really did write something on this, but I've done some definitely behind the scenes, like the pimento sandwiches, which I bought 8 and brought them home.
You did?
And I am going to be serving them tomorrow. Hopefully the bread's still good, because I'm having a little master's party at my apartment in New York.
That's fabulous.
So I think my guests will be extremely surprised to have a literal pimento sandwich from the grounds of Augusta.
Yes. The merchandise room, the store is going to, wipe you out. What's the average? I think Golf Digest said it was $650 is what the average person spends. You said you dropped 1,000 the first time?
Yeah, and this time, 1,300.
I've heard, I'm going to actually write about this. I've heard, somebody told me at the writers' meeting, and I don't know how accurate this is, they said that $28 million a few years ago was what was taken in 1 week. And that one Japanese visitor coming in, a corporate, somebody who was very, very wealthy, spent $58,000 because he bought 10 bags, golf bags, in addition to stacks and stacks of shirts. And not only are there regular T-shirts inside this wonderful merchandise store, there are very lovely shirts that a woman would want to have, which, of course, mm-hmm. I have now on. I'm wearing one.
Yeah. No, it's amazing stuff. And I think, that's offset by, what they've really managed to keep, and it's been well documented too about this, is that the sandwiches are like $1.50 and the food is very reasonable. They kept that the same. I mean, and I saw that you made your way to the museum, and that's another thing I like to tell people. There's a beautiful museum in downtown Augusta that has a very, very good golf representation.
I'm glad you brought the museum in, because so many people talk about how ugly Washington Road is. It's an eclectic combination of modern architecture. But if you just go a little bit further down Washington Road, just go past Augusta National, and you end up in Augusta. And it's a beautiful little city.
Quaint, beautiful little city, and that museum is a real gem.
I ended up at the Metro Cafe with Augusta Golf Girl, and we had a lovely time, and then I went to the museum. It's a very interesting place. I'll have pictures in my column. Lots of pictures. I had such a good time, and I much of it is because of you, Alisa. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And the drink of, I don't know if your listeners know, but the drink of the Masters, they do have their official drink, is the Azalea, which is, how the Kentucky Derby has a mint julep.
Yes.
It's an Azalea, and it's gin, grapefruit juice, and grenadine with, I think, a lime or a lemon.
And they serve it virgin, in case you're not a drinker, so you can taste it without the alcohol.
Yeah.
I know this because someone was having virgin azaleas that day and wanted really to have a real one, but I couldn't. Because you can't, if you get it, let's say you get a ticket, you get a badge, let's call it what it is. The badges are very interesting. That whole story is going to be fun to write. If you have a badge, it doesn't necessarily give you clubhouse access. How does that work?
I think that there's a special marking, whether it's a member or what have you, what badges, badges, the hardcover, hard plastic badge that lets people in.
Mm-hmm. I met a gentleman at T-Bones who said he claimed to have badges that gave him not only the, course access and clubhouse access. He had full access. He had, locker room access. Seemed like a bit of a stretch to me, but I suppose anything's possible, depending on who you know. And the badges all are numbered. And if you go in and you cause a fracas and you're impolite, and they decide to have to 86 you from, your number is recorded. And wherever that badge came from, the person who allowed you using that badge will be punished. Not only will you never be allowed to go back to the Masters, that person, I believe, is stripped of their badge as well. Is that correct?
That I'm at 100% on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be able to say,
I've heard that it's pretty strict, that they are very strict.
I have heard it as well, and gratefully I have not been a subject to it, nor have I.
No. We tippy-toe very quietly through the tulips, don't we?
Yes. I just stick to the cocktail. Learning the recipes.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. A great pleasure talking with you. You want to stick around for a couple more minutes? The show ends in 10 minutes. I have to take a commercial break. Thank the people who actually pay for the airtime. Thank you. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family, invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
To demonstrate the nimble driving characteristics of this new Acura RDX, we're recording this radio commercial from inside the cabin while being driven by a professional stunt driver. All right, let me open the window here. Listen to the power of the RDX's new V6 engine with 273 horsepower. Now you're experiencing the agility of this deceivingly big crossover. Let's not forget the RDX is also equipped with standard moonroof, Bluetooth phone connectivity, and a 360-watt 7-speaker premium audio system. And it has standard leather seats. Unfortunately, hang on. I really can't get any sound out of these seats. See your Acura dealer for exceptional offers and test drive the new RDX today.
See your Hawaii Acura dealer in Honolulu and Kahului, Maui for the season's best offers on the 2013 Acura RDX. Choosing an Acura just makes sense.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
You heard the jet. Yes, indeed. We already have one qualifier for our trip for two to San Francisco. You will fly Hawaiian Airlines and stay at the Palace Hotel San Francisco, a luxury collection hotel. Eric of Mililani, you're the first qualifier. The second qualifier is coming right now. And in, I don't know, about a month or so, we're going to pull our next winner. And you're going to be flying to San Francisco. Yes, indeed. It's going to be fabulous for you. Because 4 days at the Palace Hotel, San Francisco, cruising through San Francisco. Yeah, that's a great trip. Let's go to the Masters, where Jason Day leads, Fred Couples, amazing Freddie Couples, Mark Leishman, Angel Cabrera, Jim Furyk. They're all in the mix with Brant Snedeker, Tim Clark, Matt Kuchar, Rory McIlroy, Justin Rose. I wonder if Tiger Woods is teed off. Tiger Woods, I don't think when he talked about the penalty given to Guan, 14-year-old Jinlin Guan, that he expected to be the subject of a penalty today. This is what he said about the slow play penalty. Okay, we should be bringing... We're having all kinds of technical difficulties this morning. Yeah, we've got it right.
Rules are rules. And, we've had a case of slow play for some of the guys out here on tour. And, we have, our policies. And, unfortunately, you either didn't pick it up, or sometimes you can get guys who are hitting shots or backing off a couple shots, and you can get weird times. It can happen, and I don't know what a situation is, but it's unfortunate.
Yeah, rules are rules. After we've talked about this just a two-stroke penalty on him not being disqualified for yesterday's interesting drop. It was funny hearing him say that. Rules are rules, Tiger. But the committee has determined that Tiger Woods will play. He'll only take a two-stroke penalty, even though he did not drop the ball as close to the nearest point where the ball was originally struck from. And then it hit the pin, the stick, went right down, and there was so much spin on it that it went right into the pond. And that's why he had to take the... If you missed all of that, somebody from television, a rules official, saw on television and said, that was incorrect. He didn't go to the nearest point. He didn't drop from the nearest point. And Tiger even talked about it on television. He said, I went further back. Not only did he talk about how he wanted to have a better position for the next wedge shot, but he also liked the grain of the grass better where he was, a little bit further back. We're talking now. Pronounce your last name for me, so I'm not making a mistake, Alisa.
Gaudet.
Gaudet. Alisa Gaudet.
Yeah, but I just, I don't know. I know that I'm following it on CBS Sports.
Yes. Yes.
And Tiger is one under through the second hole.
So he's playing. All right. So
he's
decided.
Playing, and he's one under through the. And here's a little factoid that I just, as I was going through the leaderboard right now, there are six of the top 15 guys are in two good rounds.
Six? No, let's go back again and say the name of her book is Two Good Rounds. We were almost, some people I could just think were thinking, is that a new golf phrase that we don't know about?
Right.
Yes, as a matter of fact, it is a new golf phrase. It's called Two Good Rounds. It's a book that you should get. You can get it on Kindle, or you can get it that you can hold. And so many people, you know, holding books, if you're flying, you want to have it in your hands. Because they always tell you, turn off this and turn it on, turn it off. Turn, you know. 19th hole stories from the world's greatest golfers. Lots of great stories and interesting people. I mean, everybody. Angel Cabrera, there he is, right at the top.
Yep, Angel, right. He's tied for fifth right now. Lee Westwood, he's making a go for it right now. He's five under, even for the day.
Yeah.
Jim Furyk, Matt Kuchar, KJ Choi, Bernard Langer. Another oldie but a goodie, right? There are plenty couples.
I love Bernard. He spent quite some time, about 15 minutes with me on the show. Gary Player is in the book, and he says, my favorite recipe is for the drink I have each morning. It's hard to get when I'm traveling, but at home, I drink this every day. And it includes two spinach leaves. Is it one kale leaf?
Yeah.
Juice of one half lemon. Small piece ginger, one apple, a half a cucumber, one piece of celery. You combine the drink, all those ingredients in the juicer, and you drink immediately. So it's not all alcohol.
No.
Alisa, thanks so much for being on the show. It's great talking with you.
Likewise.
All right, we'll do it again. I will run into each other again. You going to be at the Masters next year?
Absolutely.
Oh, let's go. Yes. I know how to shave off a considerable sum of money. So I'll write that and that'll be in my column too. So, I mean, I'll be talking more about this. How can I not? I just got back from Augusta, Georgia and the Masters and had a really, really good time. And you are a big reason that I had such a great time. And I thank you for being on the show.
Thank you. And I'm really glad. It makes me happy too. You know, we're in a great industry with a great sport, and the more that anybody, whether they're in the industry or want to just play the game, it's always good when people get excited over golf.
Yeah, it is. Two Good Rounds, author, 19th hole stories from the world's greatest golfers. I'm going to have to close the show now. We're going to hear the music coming up real soon. Yeah, here we go. Let's thank the people who make this show possible. It's brought to you by Acura. Now, you need to go and test drive the Acura RLX. It's the 2014 Acura RLX and the Acura RLX Advance. It'll break for you. You know those cars that break for you? Of course, it doesn't do everything, but in moments where you may not, it breaks for you. It's brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. They conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. A unique, unforgettable golfing experience. Kauai's South Shore gem. That is Poipupe Golf Course. Star protection. First you go out and you get your property threat and risk assessed. They do that for you, okay? Then they come in and tell you what needs to be done to protect your home or your business. Or maybe you're having a concert and you want special guards, or you're putting on the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Star protection. Get the star team on your property. Star protection is what you need. They're in Hawaii and in California. And Avance Salon. Deb, I've got your ball mark from the Masters. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2013.